Now we want to come to the Word of God this evening. We're turning to the book of Romans and the chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We have three verses to read, three verses to look at this evening in Romans chapter 1. We're breaking into the chapter in the verse 16. And we'll read verse 16, 17 and verse 18. So Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16. The Apostle Paul is writing here. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Amen. We'll finish at verse 18, and we trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. As I say, the Apostle Paul is writing here. He's writing to a church in the city of Rome, new believers. It's a new church, really. It's the early days of the New Testament church, just not very long after Paul has engaged in his ministry. And Rome, the city of Rome, of course, was the seat of the Roman Empire. It's a great city, and the Roman Empire was a great empire, and it stretched far and wide. And as Paul was writing to the church, of course, as he's writing to a church, he's writing to those who've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book is a book teaching sound doctrine to those young believers in the city of Rome. When you come to verse 15, the verse prior to the verses which we've just read, you'll see that Paul tells them that he wants to come to them in Rome, and he's ready to come and to preach the gospel. Now, I took that verse on my first Lord's Day morning here as the pastor of Valley Baptist Church in the sense that we're ready to preach the gospel. Well, the Apostle Paul was telling the believers in Rome that he wanted to come to the city of Rome and preach the gospel. But then he goes on, and he tells them why he wants to preach the gospel. And we see that in verse 16 and verse 17. We see the theme of the book of Romans in verse 16 and 17. And you could really sum this up in just a few words. Paul really is teaching this truth that righteousness comes only from God. It only comes from God. Paul declares his allegiance to the Lord in verse 16 when he says, "I am not ashamed." And of course, there's a reason why he says that. In fact, there's a cultural reason. There's a reason that sits in with the time when Paul was writing behind this declaration that Paul has made. You see, the Roman authorities, the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor, they would have placed no value on the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had their own gods. They had their own false religion. They were proud of the things that they had. They were proud of their empire. They were proud of their activity. They were proud of everything that they had accomplished. And Rome itself as a city was known as a place of philosophy. It was a place where there were great thinkers. And they would have looked at a message like the message of the gospel, and they would have laughed it to scorn. They would have said, "There's no hope in that message. There's no future in that message. There's no truth in that message." They would have made fun of anyone who believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet Paul, as he's writing to this young church in Rome, Paul very quickly emphasizes the fact that it didn't matter what anyone else thought about the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. And as we read the New Testament, as we look at Paul's letters from Romans right through to Philemon, one of the things that we're grateful for when we read the words here is the missionary zeal of the Apostle Paul, who more than any other person was responsible for the initial spread of the message of the gospel as he traveled carrying this great truth. And as you read through his letters, you read about his missionary journeys. As you read through his letters, you read about the passion that Paul had for souls, and it thrills our hearts to see a man so on fire with the message of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed. Not ashamed. But this evening, I don't want us to think about Paul I want us to think about the message that Paul wasn't ashamed of. Because there's so much to be said about this message. And we can sum it up in these three verses that we have read this evening. I want you to see that the message Paul wasn't ashamed of is a message in which the power of God is revealed. It tells us in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God is revealed in the message of the gospel. What's Paul speaking about as he writes that there? Paul's speaking about the operation of God in saving sinners. That God sent his Son to save sinners. When we think about salvation, and Paul talks here about salvation, the question is, why do we need salvation? The question comes, salvation from what? And maybe you're listening this evening. Maybe you're chinned in. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're out walking and you can hear this. And you're asking that question. You're saying, what do I need saved from? Well, Paul deals with that in these verses and we're going to come to that. But it can be summed up in verse 18. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's what we need saved from. We need saved from the sin that separates man from God. The whole section of Paul's letter from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, right through to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, it shows us the impact of sin upon mankind, that sin affects all man. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Word of God makes it very clear for us that there's none of us who can stand before God in our own efforts, in our own standing, in our own works, in our own goodness, in our own wealth, whatever it might be. There's nothing that we have that can help us to stand before God in our own merits because of sin. You see, the sin which is described in the Word of God impacts upon the life of every single person who's born because the Bible says we're born as sinners. Right back in the very opening book of the Bible, in the opening chapters of the Bible, the book of Genesis, as we read about creation and how God created the world, but then we come further on into the chapter and we read about the fall. We read about how sin entered into the world and how it came through the disobedience of that man whom God had created, that man Adam. And as he's there in the Garden of Eden and he's deceived, and sin entered into the world and death by sin, the Bible tells us. And sin has impacted, sin has infected the human race from that point in time. And sin separates man from God. But what does Paul tell us here about God? He tells us that the power of God is revealed. How is it revealed? It's revealed because it's unto salvation. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And it's by the salvation that God offers to mankind. You see, you have to understand, first of all, that sin must be dealt with. Sin can't be ignored. The God of heaven is a holy God. The God of heaven cannot ignore your sin. The God of heaven will not excuse your sin. The God of heaven can't even look upon your sin. So what are we to do? What can we do if we're born as sinners? And our sin separates us from God. And we know that our good works can't save us. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That means our best efforts are unclean. Our best efforts can't get close to what is needed. They don't contribute even one iota, one tiny little bit towards the payment for our sin. Because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Maybe you're listening this evening and you don't like the idea about being called a sinner. You might even be thinking that man doesn't know anything about me. Who does he think he is to say that I'm a sinner? Who does he think he is to even dare to say such a thing? Let me tell you something. I am preaching what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God tells me, in fact, it tells you that you're a sinner. So your argument's not with me. Your argument is with the Word of God. Your argument is with the holy God of heaven. That's who you stand before when it comes to eternity. You don't stand before the preacher then. You stand before God. But it would be wrong of me to stand up here and ignore the truth of the Word of God. You see, this verse that we've read, verse 16, tells us that the power of God is revealed. The power of God is unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That means that if you come and put your trust in Him tonight, your sin will be dealt with. If you come to Christ tonight, your sin will be dealt with. The Bible tells us that, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We see the power of God revealed. Do we see as well, secondly, the righteousness of God revealed in verse 17? It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, whenever we think about righteousness, we have to take the contrast against that. There's righteousness, therefore there's unrighteousness. And our unrighteousness, your unrighteousness, my unrighteousness in our nature would separate us from God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to us the righteousness of God, something which can be applied to lost and guilty sinners tonight. This all stems back to the opening words of verse 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of what? Of the gospel of Christ, the good news of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the message that we have while we're speaking about sin, and we have to do that, yet we have a message of hope. That message of hope that is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who left heaven, the one who came to this earth to be the Savior of sinners, the one who went to the cross of Calvary, the one who shed His precious blood, the one who took the judgment and the wrath of a holy God poured out upon Him so that we could go free. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this Himself. He says, I am come that they might have life. He came to bring life to those who were dead. Every single person affected by sin, separated from God by that sin, eternally separated without God dealing with sin. But you can come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come tonight confessing your sin, confessing your need, believing that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the place called Calvary is sufficient to save you. And if you come tonight, He will save you. He's promised that He will save you. And He's promised that you will have eternal life. But that's if you come. That's if you put your trust in Christ. You see, on the other hand, if you reject the gospel offer, if you reject what Christ has done, then you will suffer eternal punishment in the place the Bible calls hell. But you know, tonight, as you're listening to the gospel, as you hear the truth of the gospel, I believe it will be a greater punishment indeed for the one who has walked out and walked away from the message of the gospel. I believe it will be much more difficult, much more of a torment for those who have actually rejected the message, have walked away from the message of the gospel. Because you will know that you had hope if you trusted in Christ. You will know that there was a way of escape if you come to Christ. But you have rejected the way of escape. And by then it will be too late. By then you will have that eternal separation from a God who loved you. From a God who gave His Son to save sinners just like you and just like me. And you walked away. You did nothing about it. Do you know the righteousness of God is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the one who took our sins upon Himself and suffered the punishment due for sinners. That's where the righteousness of God is revealed. It's revealed in Christ. Now, you're here this evening. Maybe you have heard the gospel before. I don't know. Maybe it is your first time hearing the gospel. I don't know that either. But if you're honest with yourself tonight, you know you're a sinner. If you're honest with yourself tonight, as you have listened to this message, you know by now that Christ came to this earth and he died to save you. You know your need. You know you need his righteousness because your own isn't enough. You know all of these things. You've heard it perhaps often enough. Will you not come to him? Will you not come and put your trust in the Savior? How many more opportunities do you want? You want just one more? Maybe you're thinking, I'll get right someday. There's a day down the line and it'll be the day for me. But maybe you'll never get another opportunity. Maybe you'll never hear the gospel again. But if you come tonight and put your trust in Christ, you can be sure that your sin's been dealt with. We've quoted the verse already. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is the promise of the ages. That Jesus is willing to save. That Jesus is able to save. Because in him, the righteousness of God is revealed. Will you come tonight and avail of his righteousness? We see the power of God revealed. We see the righteousness of God revealed. But in verse 18, I have to point out to you that we see the wrath of God revealed. Because it tells us in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And this statement that we have just read, as Paul is writing here, it's a statement about the righteous wrath of God. He's a holy God, and he must punish sin. Therefore, the wrath of God is a serious subject for us to consider. But I want you to understand that it's important for you to grasp this. It's important that you understand the depth of this. You see, there's nothing impulsive about the wrath of God because he's a holy and a just God. There's nothing unjust about the wrath of God. There's nothing wrong in the anger of God against sin. Really what it is, and one preacher put it like this, he said, this wrath of God defines a settled, determined response of a holy God against sin. That's all that God can do with sin, is to judge it. He can't do anything else with it because he's entirely holy. The only thing he can do with it is judge it. And therefore, he had to pour out his wrath upon a substitute for us. And that substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price so that we would go free. He took the punishment so that our sin would be dealt with. He underwent the wrath of God for us, so that we could be made right with God. We think about our unrighteousness, our sin, and we think about God's righteousness, and we've thought about those things. We've thought about the way of salvation that God has made available to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about his judgment? What about his wrath? You see, for those who reject God's salvation, there still is judgment. For those who say no to Christ, there's eternal judgment. I want to say to you this evening, the thing that defines your eternity, if you were to go out into eternity tonight, if you were to die tonight, what defines your eternity is if you were with Christ, you were in Christ, or you're outside of Christ. That's what defines your eternity. What you've done with Jesus. Whether you're ready for God's heaven because you've trusted in Christ. So the question lies with you. For you, if you were out into eternity tonight, would it be heaven or would it be hell? You have to answer that question yourself. Would it be heaven or would it be hell? The verse tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that little word all is very significant because there's not one sin that will be overlooked. There's not one sin that will be forgotten about. There's not one sin that will be missed. There's not one sin that will not be punished, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Do you know there's an urgency about this for you tonight? What have you never made at home? I trust that you do. But what have you never made at home tonight? What if this was your last time hearing the gospel? What if this was your last time being confronted with your eternity? You might say, well, probably won't be. And the reality is, it probably won't be. But sometime, someday, will be the last day. There is a time when it will be the last time. It might not be tonight. But we don't know that. You don't know that. What if it was? What if tonight was your last opportunity? There's an urgency. The Bible says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friend, this evening, only Christ can make you righteous before God. Only Christ can deal with your sin. When you trust in Christ by faith in His finished work at Calvary, when you come and confess your sin, then you will be saved. You are saved from the wrath which is to come. The Bible tells us here that we're justified by faith. In fact, it tells us here in verse 17, the just shall live by faith. You've placed your hope, your faith, your trust in Christ. The just shall live by faith. But without Christ, you're hopeless tonight. Without Christ, you have nothing to hold on to. And you're bound to face the wrath of God. You know, it tells us in Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the eternal destiny of those who reject Christ. That is actually the place that's prepared for the devil and for his angels. But it is the place of eternal judgment for the unsaved. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to be your eternity? Why would you reject Christ when He's died for you? He's died so that you might live. He's died to deal with your sin. Why would you take the risk, as it were, take the chance, if you want to put it like that, of going out into eternity without Him and facing the wrath which is to come? Trust that you won't. Trust that you'll come to Him tonight before it's too late. Amen.